Welcome to Test Don't Guess, the podcast created for unlicensed health practitioners who love chatting about functional lab testing. I'm Jensen, your host. I'm a functional nutritional therapy practitioner, developer of the HTMA analysis app, and creator of the Instant HTMA professional course. But here, I'm just your curious colleague who wants to know all about the functional lab tests that you're using, how you learn to properly interpret them, and how incorporating labs has impacted your confidence and your practice. In this season of Test Don't Guess, we're going to talk with practitioners, course creators, and lab experts to help you navigate the world of functional testing, and I am super glad you're here. Remember, this is a podcast intended for learning purposes only, and it does not provide professional legal or medical advice. Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Test Don't Guess podcast. This is Jensen, and I am talking with Maddie Miller today from Maddie Miller Creative. She happens to be my marketing lead on my team at Test Don't Guess, and I just absolutely love her. I like to call her my marketing unicorn because she totally nerds out on all things labs. So she's an RWS practitioner, she's an FNTP, she speaks our language, but her business is focused on the marketing side of things, especially social media marketing. And so today we are going to be talking about three effective social media marketing strategies specifically for functional lab practitioners. This was a really fun conversation. I realized about halfway through that my main knowledge of social media marketing is from the business-to-business side for talking about like my course and all of that. And her expertise is obviously she does business-to-business, but she mainly works business to consumer. So she works with practitioners who are trying to build up their social media and reach their ideal client. So don't mind me trying to be a marketing expert out here in this conversation. These are just the type of things that I love learning about myself and trying different strategies and working hand in hand with her. So I know you'll get a lot out of this episode. And if you are enjoying this podcast, I would be so grateful if you would rate it and leave a comment or feedback so that we can get this information in front of as many lab practitioners as possible. And it also opens us up to having really well-known speakers come on. So thank you in advance for doing that. All right, let's get into the episode. So today on the podcast, we have Maddie Miller, who it's like near and dear to me that you are talking with me on the podcast today because we've been working together for a couple of years now. And I actually wanted to share the story of how we met just because I thought it was so awesome. I feel like in my business, I have found unicorns. And by that, I mean people that love functional testing and also have expertise in another area. It was just so funny how you reach out to me on Instagram and you were like, I love what you're doing. You made it a really personal approach. And you said, I am an RWS practitioner. I'm an FNTP, but I'm also transitioning into the marketing side of things. Like, would you be interested in working together on, I think it was ads at that time. Then we started working together. And then I found that I just absolutely adored working with you. Then the relationship has just grown from there. And so I think just from that alone, I just thought it was so awesome that you reached out and like put yourself out there like that because I was desperately needing some help at that time. And I had no idea how to find that help because I think I was looking for just like somebody broad in marketing. And you came in and like you already spoke my language, which was so huge. And so anyway, all of that to say, I wanted to welcome you to the Test Don't Guess podcast today. Wanted to give you the opportunity to introduce yourself, tell us about what you're doing now as a unicorn in marketing and understanding functional lab testing.
Okay, so many things to say about that because, you know, you get so many of those DMs, like cold DMs that you can tell people are just like mass generating and sending to a bunch of people, but it actually still works, like even for practitioners, if they like want to start a conversation with clients, you know, that can be a way. I would just say like always do it with coming from like a genuine place.
Sure.
And I'm so grateful that I did send that message to you. I truly believe that everything in this world happens for a reason. And because of that one message, I've had the opportunity to, you know, partner with you. I would say I found a friend in you. All kinds of things I've been able to learn from you because you're just so brilliant. So yeah, I'm so grateful for that. My name is Maddie. I'm the owner of Maddie Miller Creative. I do social media management and course creation for practitioners, just really helping them to dive into all things digital marketing for our specific area of the world, which is health and wellness. And it can be a little intimidating because there are so many other people kind of in this area. But I don't think that that's a reason for anyone to ever doubt their ability to create a thriving practice. So that's kind of where my passion lies, is just helping people to realize that and to bring their fullest business potential into the world.
I love that. I love that. And so today, I know I love having really actionable conversations with people. And we had discussed prior, like, what could we deliver to this audience that would just be so helpful? And so today we're going to be talking about three effective social media marketing strategies specifically for functional lab practitioners. So we're really going to get in deep with each of those three things. So the first one is niching down. So let's talk more about that.
Yeah. Okay. So niching down is an area where I find all of my clients struggle because I totally get it. We want to help everyone and we're afraid of excluding people. But the opposite is true. So when you speak to one person, they're going to be like, oh my gosh, this person sees me. They're talking to like my pain points, my desires, like they're in my head. And so then that creates a really easy way for them to want to say yes to you. But it also attracts people who aren't in your niche. Like, you just because you're talking to one person doesn't mean that other people are excluded. So I think that everyone in the health and wellness realm really needs to understand that. And getting as niche as possible and as you as possible, like really leaning into that is such a big piece in all of this. It's really what's going to set you apart. I see a lot of practitioners wanting to hide behind like their brand or just strictly educational content, but unfortunately, that's not going to lead to clients. And this is one of the ways that lab testing is really amazing. And you speak about it a lot too, Jensen. I know it's something that you believe in, but it's setting you apart from a large majority of health coaches or practitioners out there that are kind of just creating cookie cutter strategies. But this is really going to allow you to come from a place where you have exact data to feed into those symptoms and know exactly how to create that effective protocol. Yeah. And as we niche, you know, like we have to remember that people are always buying first from a place of emotion and second from a place of logic. So if you can really understand your ideal client and what they're struggling with, then you'll be able to speak their exact language of the emotions that they are going through. Because we have to remember that health is a very emotional thing. They're going to have to like really trust in you to be able to share that information with you and trust that you can get them to where they want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And so if somebody, I know this is something that we hear all the time, you got to niche down. But what are some of like the common problems that you see where people maybe think that they're niching down and they're talking to one specific client, but maybe it's not, the messaging isn't hitting?
Mm-hmm. So I think a lot of the times people think that they're niching down enough, but it's still so broad. Like I help like busy women overcome digestive issues, you know, but that's still so broad. There's still so many other people out there doing that exact same thing. So how can we get really specific? Like I help busy women who are like, I help busy moms with like children under the age of 12 to overcome digestive issues through using hair tissue mineral analysis and I don't know, like cycle syncing or something that's not completely related to gut health.
Sure.
But anyways, you get the idea. So like really bringing in, getting specific about who your ideal client is, but also specific about how you help them, because I think that that is also unique and also sets you apart. So you're really honing in on exactly like who this is and what your method is of getting them there.
Yeah. So just making it so clear that of who you exactly you're talking to. And so you do recommend sharing like the lab that you're using or that you are using testing as a part of like your niche.
Yeah, I think that that can be a great part as long as you're bundling it. And sometimes like in your bio, that might be too long.
Sure.
But specifically so that you understand where you're coming from, and then you can weave that into content, into your website, into things like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you're using a bunch of labs, so maybe instead of saying like hair tissue mineral analysis, you could just say through like data-driven, like, results, or I don't know what I'm trying to say, data, like, you know, the feedback from the labs, and then whatever your unique method is to get them to where they need to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it also helps niching down. It's not only helpful for when you're talking to your clients, but it also helps with you understanding what you can do for somebody. So if somebody comes to you and they're maybe, and you're trying to focus in on one thing and they're looking for something totally different, you can confidently say, like, you know, I'm probably not the right practitioner for you, rather than saying yes to somebody where you're like, I'm not sure if I'll be able to get this person results because I'm not familiar with what they are going through or whatever.
Yeah, absolutely. The data from labs gives so much confidence to you truly knowing how to help that person. And I think that's so important because one of the biggest things that I see with practitioners, and I'm sure you see it as well, is imposter syndrome and not feeling confident. And that kind of leads down this like rabbit hole of getting like a million certifications and like really trying to feel fully ready. But when it comes to business and starting a practice, sometimes you kind of like, you obviously want to know, like, have your base foundations of knowledge, but a little bit of it is always going to be fake it till you make it, right? Like, you have to believe in yourself if you want anyone else to believe in you. And so those labs can just really help support that confidence level.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, whenever I think about that, is when you're learning one of those labs, when you're looking at, you know, what course you want to take to learn one of these labs, having a course that has support included with it, I think is so important. I don't think we talk about that enough with like trying to choose. I know sometimes we're looking for, I mean, let's just be real, like one of the cheaper options to learn something like this, but then you're not getting like the one-on-one support. And I think as you're first getting started in that confidence building up, if you know that if you can sell the person I'm working with you and using labs, and then knowing that you have a team that you can ask the questions to, I feel like helps a lot with that as well. So I know that's kind of a side note, but just something that I've been thinking about on my own lately. So
yeah, no, absolutely. Because that takes a little pressure off you of thinking that you have to know it all, especially from the get-go, and being able to have that support system to lean back on. So I totally agree.
For sure, for sure. Have you ever found yourself feeling like everyone is speaking a secret language? Trust me, I have been there. I vividly remembered feeling major imposter syndrome as I saw practitioners throwing around terms like GI map and mycotox profile and HTMA test. And I'm thinking, did I miss something? Turns out the more seasoned practitioners knew something that I didn't know. They knew that as holistic health practitioners, we are able to use our certifications to get access to various lab companies so that we can use all kinds of different lab testing with our clients that will ultimately help guide our recommendations. And side note, this made my data-loving brain so excited. As someone who color-coded their own blood results in a massive Excel sheet for years, I knew I was meant to use lab data with my clients. But then the questions hit. Which lab companies accept unlicensed health practitioners? And what tests are even available to me? How do I learn to interpret the lab results? How does it all work? And so that's why I created the ultimate free resource that I wish existed during my own quest for these answers. Just DM me the word lab guide on Instagram at testdontguess, or click the link in the show notes below to instantly access our totally free unlicensed practitioner's guide to functional lab testing. This is the resource you've been looking for if you're new to functional testing, or you want to make sure that you're aware of the different options that are available. So grab this guide and you'll be able to navigate the wild, wild west of functional lab testing like a seasoned pro. All right. So the second social media marketing strategy specifically for functional lab practitioners.
Okay, yeah. So showing proof. So, you know, it can be a little scary to kind of put yourself out there with like testimonials, case studies, all of those things. But if we can't show someone how we can get them to where they want to be, then they're not going to realize that you can get them there. You know, you need to tell them. And typically on Instagram, you'll notice that like these posts don't get high engagement. But I think it's important to be okay with that and like look at your social media feed as a form of a portfolio in a way. So really choosing to put your best results out there so people can see they can get where they want to be. Remembering who your ideal client is. So, you know, speaking specifically to the pain points that they would be having through these case studies is really important so they can see it in someone else. Mm-hmm. And then kind of demonstrating how you were able to use the labs to get these people where they want to be. Because we have to remember, like, we're all practitioners. We love lab testing. We love all of, like, the nerdy parts of it and really understanding the lab specifically. But our ideal clients are not practitioners, and they're not really going to care about all of those little pieces of lab testing. Rather, they're just looking to see, like, how can you get me the results that I want in the most efficient way possible? Like, how can we go A to Z? And that's where you can pull the lab testing in, is like, show them that this is how you were able to get this person there. So it can also be how you can get them there.
Yeah. So when somebody is sharing, let's say, testimonials or case studies on their Instagram, do you have any tips for how to do this in like a authentic way?
Sure. So I really love the case studies where we're doing like before and after pictures and then telling the story in the caption. I think that that's like a really fun way to pull people in. One thing that I've been seeing work quite well with testimonials is starting it off like doing a carousel or something along those lines, and starting it off with like an image of you. So you're kind of getting a two for one here, because you're pulling in the personal aspect of it and then telling your story of kind of like, you know, your journey through this, how you've struggled, how you've been able to heal, and then how you've been able to help other people. And then as the carousel, like as they swipe, then it's just going to be a bunch of testimonials. Mm-hmm. So really speaking to this fact that like, not only was I able to help myself get there, but I was able to help all these other women or whoever your niche is to get there as well. Mm-hmm. So I've really been enjoying those because they also get a lot more engagement. And I think one of the biggest things we want to remember is just like, if we put a testimonial up, we still want people to read it. So if we are able to capture them with that story, then the testimonial will come in and they'll actually be more interested in reading what it has to say.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think testimonials, it's kind of like Amazon reviews for me, where like, I love reading an Amazon review on a product that I'm looking for. And so I love being able to read something that, and I personally really like when it's like a screenshot. And so I can tell that they didn't just like copy and paste it or just write it themselves or alter it or whatever. Like, I feel like screenshots are so valuable. When I'm looking at it from the buyer perspective, like, I want to see that this person's getting results. And yeah. I know even with my own Instagram, I definitely notice the low engagement on those types of posts, but it's okay. Like, you know, that's not really something that somebody's gonna be like, oh, that's awesome. It's like, they just are going to see it and hopefully they're going to think about it more. And it will just, like you said, that like no trust factor of like, okay, other people are getting results, or they can see themselves in one of those testimonials or something like that. And then they know that they are the correct client for you, if that makes sense.
Exactly. Right? Yeah, exactly. So like, those screenshots are, yeah, fantastic ways, because then you know that someone's not just making this testimonial up, right? And then anytime you can put those up in your story and then use them as a highlight reel, you know, collecting all those testimonials. Because as we mentioned before, with like the emotions first and the logic second, the people who are actually going to come in and read those testimonials are already people who are on the path to purchasing from you, right? Like, you're already tugging at those emotions. You're already making them think like, maybe this is the person that's going to get me where I want to be. And then they're going to be scrolling back through your Instagram feed, your portfolio to say, and reading through those testimonials to back up those emotions with logic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's all like, we have to think of like the buyer's process and journey of how long it's going to take for someone really to work with us. And the truth is, it's going to take some time to get them there, but we can use this entire process of being like, hey, let's connect to the emotions and then have these testimonials and case studies to back up the logic once they get to that place where they're actually ready to go through with, you know, signing a contract and working with me or jumping on a discovery call, whatever it is.
Isn't there research that somebody needs to be exposed to something like 8 times or something typically before they take action? Is that the right number?
That's what it used to be, but now there's just everyone's getting bombarded constantly.
Sure.
So I think the number is up to like 21, and it honestly might be higher at this point too. But yeah, at least 21 points of contact.
Oh, wow.
So that's where it's also like, I don't know, I'm not going to skip ahead, but yeah, it's a lot. And so people get discouraged when they put up a bunch of Instagram posts and like they're not getting discovery calls right away. But the truth is, even if you put up 21 posts, that like one person is maybe only seeing a third of those. So you're going to have to keep going. And consistency is really key when it comes down to all of this.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, especially with the algorithm not necessarily showing your posts, all of your posts to everybody.
And exactly.
Yeah, that's really, really tricky. But yeah, okay. So number 3, make it easy to work with you. This is so important. This is something that I like preach inside Instant HTMA.
Yeah. I mean, I think so many times we can get a little scared of like actually talking about the offer that we're trying to sell. You know, we'll hide behind educational content or maybe even sometimes personal content. But we really have to be brave and come out and like let people know what it is you're selling and how they can go about learning more to work with you. So those call to actions and captions or on slides are going to be really important. Jumping into your stories and actually talking about what you're offering, that can be really great. To go back to kind of like that social proof part, another way that you could bring that in is simply talking about a client that you're working with in your stories and kind of explaining like the process you're currently going through, what labs they just took, what improvements they're seeing, and then dropping a link to schedule that discovery call with you. I really think that stories can be a great place to sell.
I think that's really, I mean, I think that's where most people should probably start, right? That would be such a great way. Like even if, let's say you're working with like a beta client where you're just learning the lab, just being able to share about that process with them in a way that is not sharing, obviously, any of their data or anything like that, but just here's what this client, what symptoms were, and here's what we saw in the test results, and here's how I'm helping them. And then somebody can see, oh, I want to know my results from that and be able to work with them. And then, yeah. And so I think what I see a lot out there is people putting out that information, but then not following it up with that call to action. And so it's like, oh, that's so interesting. And then you miss that moment of being able to capture them as a potential client or a discovery call.
Yeah, exactly. And then when they're already there in the story, it's so easy for them to just like reply, you know, like a couple weeks ago, I was just interpreting a GI map and I just posted a story about it. And I thought that like everyone on my social media knew that I wasn't taking clients anymore. But I got 2 people reaching out to me that were like, oh, I want to do this. And I'm like, okay, well, let me refer to you to another practitioner because, you know, like I don't have the bandwidth for that. But it creates a much more personal sense of them seeing like behind the scenes and then being able to get that direct feedback from you.
And it's so funny. I feel like I'm talking like I'm like a marketing expert here. I've just been working with you and I always am seeing what's working, trying to like learn. And I love learning about this on my own time too. But I remember something that we've tried and if whoever follows me on Instagram probably has noticed, but one of our strategies I feel like is, I'm happy to share it. It's very obvious if you look at my posts, but that at the bottom of every single one, and most of my posts, we'll put the caption and then we always have some sort of call to action at the bottom. And I think in my brain, that makes sense because if the algorithm is only going to show the person even one thing that I have done, if that person, if it resonates with them right away, I don't want them to have to come to my Instagram and try to figure out how they can learn more. Like, I want to make it so clear. And hopefully, I know the captions are sometimes kind of long, but if you're somebody who follows me, it's like, you're like, oh yeah, I've seen that call to action before. But if somebody new sees it, like that is what really helps get them the answers to what they're looking for.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. So when it comes to call to actions, I don't know if I made this up or if this is actually a term, but like I always think of it in terms of like hard call to actions and soft call to actions. Mm-hmm. So in every content calendar, like one out of six posts will be a hard call to action. And that's where it's like, you know, you're directly speaking about your product in a reel, or there's a like hard slide within that is going to bring to a call to action. Also, as a disclaimer, because yours is business to business,
sure,
it is slightly different than like business to client. So
great point. Sorry.
Yeah. But like what you're talking about in the caption is like a soft call to action. And so I think like, you know, especially if you look through Jensen's posts, you'll see at the bottom, it's like a lot of them are like PS. So people who are getting to that point in the caption, if they've already read it, they know to fall off. You know, they don't have to get like annoyed because it's just this like promotional caption. Rather, they're getting a lot of great information from it. And if they've already read it or purchased, they can know to stop reading there. And then for anyone new coming in, they see that and they're like, oh, this is how I can work with her. This is what she's actually providing, you know? So yeah, I think that we just have to think about those ways that we can pull it in and use that to capture our audience.
Yeah. When I was first getting started with this, I kept wanting there to be like one strategy that if I just followed it, that it would definitely work and all of that. And I've had to learn over the years that like nobody has the exact strategy, and it takes just trying different things and seeing what the effects are. I remember seeing that type of call to action at the bottom of a caption on somebody else's Instagram. And I was like, oh, like that makes a lot of sense. And so then I talked to you about it and we were like, let's give it a shot. And so anyway, all that to say, call to action is very important and making it very clear. And also just try things. Like it's okay to try it, see what happens and alter it as you go. I think a lot of us are looking for this like step-by-step, like exact thing. And it's like, nobody has all of the answers for exactly what you're trying to do. And sometimes you just need the permission from somebody, and hopefully this reaches a listener where it's like you have the permission to try whatever you want to try, especially when it comes to marketing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's one of the funnest parts about marketing is it's all an experiment, you know, especially like managing so many different accounts. I see like some things will work for one account, but they won't work for another account. And so you really have to, like you said, give yourself the permission. Don't take it personal either. Like, I think it's easy to make things personal on Instagram, but just use it as data points to inform like what you're going to do in the future. Because if certain things take off, like you should stick with those and keep like adding more of those into the future. Mm-hmm. If some things aren't working, try readjusting them, like reincorporate it as a reel or a story or redo the post, change up the caption, change up like the hook and like how you're speaking to the person. And if it's still not working, just let it go, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. When someone sends me two HTMA tests and asks why they haven't seen much change, my first question is always, are you using Vicon? Vicon is the supplement company that I truly can't stop talking about inside our Instant HTMA professional community. And here's why. With Vicon, you're able to customize a supplement blend based on your client's HTMA test, complete with the client's name printed right on the label. So no more generic solutions or piecing together massive, complicated, and expensive protocols. Practitioners love Vicon because it wipes out supplement fatigue, which leads to real, tangible results. And clients love it because it's so simple to take, whether they choose the powder or the pills. And most importantly, they're able to experience the magic of getting the right nutrients along with crucial cofactors for their body. All you have to do as the practitioner is choose a base formula, customize it using over 25 different properly sourced options like extra potassium or liver support, and you can even whip up a custom prenatal or support breastfeeding moms. The possibilities are truly endless. And then just to make sure that the blend is perfect, you can always set up a quick consult with the amazing Vicon team, and they are happy to help. So if you're ready to revolutionize your approach to supplementation, grab our free Vicon guide and sign up for your own free Vicon account and let them know that you heard about it from Test Don't Guess. Check out the link in the show notes to get started.
So with that, making it easy to work with you, another really big piece is having a clear funnel in place. And you can use that to really highlight what you're offering. So by this, we want to like have that's going to bring people in. So you could really get creative with that. The more creative you can get, the better. And if you can make it unique, that's great, because there's a lot of things right now pulling to like, hey, give me your email. Hey, give me your email. So people are like, oh, I don't want to give you my email. Mm-hmm. So, you know, thinking of ways that you can really make it unique to you, make it fun. Quizzes work really great. And any way where you can kind of pull in some video so that people can get to know you better. So one thing I've been doing with a lot of like funnel builds for clients is on the landing pages, having them have a video talking to the person so that they can really continue that know, like, trust process, so that further on down the line, that person might be ready to actually jump in the sales call, purchase the package or initial consult or whatever it is. Yeah. And then like when we get to the sales page, I think a really important part is highlighting the labs that you're using and explaining to them like the value of that, how that's going to create an effective protocol, and also using it to separate yourself from, you know, normal conventional practitioners. Like, how are you using this in a way that is going to be proactive and helping them to create a protocol that is really, truly bio-individual to them and their needs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then another piece of all of this too is just remembering, like, when it comes, like, now that we're on the topic of working with someone, is a long and a short-term strategy. So we, like, social media is a long-term strategy. So if you're just getting started as a practitioner, start using social media, but not necessarily in a way where you're thinking you're going to just get 3 new clients right off the bat. They're going to come and it's going to take work. So you need to think of like those short-term strategies that are really going to start to generate some revenue for you. And that's where I really love, and I know you talk about this too, is partnerships. Mm-hmm. And I think lab testing is really effective for helping to lean into those partnerships. Because you can go to similar practitioners to you, like a chiropractor, physical therapist, someone who understands like how important holistic health is, but isn't necessarily using nutrition to do that. And so you can come in, or whatever it is, like maybe you're not a nutritionist, but however you can complement the services that they're providing, and then showing that you're using something like a lab really helps to support, you know, your expertise and the data that you're going to provide to the clients.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that is one of my biggest things is the partnerships, because I mean, I didn't use social media when I was working, when I was focused on one-on-one clients. And so the partnership approach was what worked really well for me. I think it can be so transformational. And then if you are somebody who wants to be using social media, because I mean, it is an amazing tool, obviously, getting that partnership, being able to get the experience with the client, with the labs, using that on your social media, like it all, it's just this like lovely cycle that continues to feed itself. And then you're able to, you know, get a good steady stream of clients.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one thing too that people don't talk about enough is just like the importance of really showing up for your clients, and the labs will help with this too, to get them results. And then they're going to create referrals for you. Mm. Like that's really how a business grows, especially I feel like in health, is referrals.
Mm-hmm. I think that that's a really great point. And referrals are so, so helpful. And it's like, it feels like there's like a tipping point at some point when you're new in your practice, you're like trying to get that next client. And then all of a sudden it just becomes this like snowball effect. And you're like, okay, like maybe I need to bring somebody on with me, or maybe I need to be referring out, or, and it just becomes this like totally different beast than the very beginning. But we have to get past that beginning. And I think mm-hmm. like the strategies that you've mentioned here are what will get people from being like brand new and trying to figure this out to being in that place where you have a good steady stream of clients, and then you're able to decide how you want to grow from there.
Absolutely. And, you know, maybe this is just like my woo-woo mind, but I think most people in our field are a little woo-woo. So I think one of a really important thing here is because we can get discouraged when things don't happen right off the bat,
mm-hmm.
but we need to tell ourselves and like visualize that it's already happening for us. I think our thoughts are so powerful, like so incredibly powerful. That's what's actually going to help manifest it in reality and bring it like just bring its fulfillment to happening, but it's also going to support you when it actually happens. So you're more ready for that. Like telling yourself, like, how am I going to manage this? How am I going to structure my business to be able to, you know, accommodate for this amount of clients? All those things, like, already think like you're there, and then it will be that much easier once you get there.
Mm-hmm. Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
There's always the mindset piece.
It's big. I mean, I've struggled with it throughout the businesses that I've had, being like, oh, I'm never going to get there. And once I'm there, being like, oh, no, like, how did I get here? And yes, how do I quickly change things to fit like this new dynamic?
Right.
So thinking ahead and already being there before it happens is going to set you up for greatness.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Maddie. If people are interested, because you are this unique unicorn of a person that understands marketing and can speak the testing language, how can people work with you?
Yeah. So I do social media management and course creation for practitioners. Right now, we are pretty booked up for social media management. We may be accepting one new client in June. So if that's something that seems interesting to you, I would strongly encourage to apply now so you can hold that position because it will go fast.
Okay. So you are helping practitioners reach their ideal client and book those discovery calls and do all of that.
Yeah, correct. So ours is it's a little split. Mostly we're helping practitioners, but we do have a couple B2B. So
perfect.
Yeah. So a little bit of both. So whether you're serving, you know, clients or you're serving other practitioners or other businesses, we can help for sure. And one easy way to do it, if you're like, oh, I don't know if like social media management is for me right now, I just don't have the funds. I do have a content calendar that is specific for both HTMA practitioners, and then a general content calendar is within that. It's really complex. We go through different modules, really breaking down Instagram and explaining exactly how to use that content calendar so you can effectively market your services and your labs to your clients.
So it's specifically tailored for lab practitioners in creating the content for their social media.
Exactly. And there is also 30 emails included in that to, you know, social media is great, but we want to get people onto our email list so we can sell to them. So that will really help you to set that up and be able to create that funnel to attracting clients into your practice.
Yes. Awesome. Yeah. The content that you create and that you put out is just so high quality. And I would highly recommend this content calendar because it blew me away when I looked it over. I was like, this just has everything that somebody would need. So I think it's great.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. And thank you to all the listeners who have tuned in and have hopefully walked away with a lot of actionable strategies and thoughts about what they can be doing to help bring people in to their practice via social media. All right. That is it for today. Thank you so much for joining. You can find me at Test Don't Guess on Instagram or testdontguess.org, or you can check out the free private Facebook group called Test Don't Guess Functional Lab Chats to go ahead and continue this conversation. So until next time, always keep learning and stay curious.